grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes, we're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours at least.
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teach you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop, chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually paying us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day. Can we do this? Can we just tell all the dads, whether they be here with us or not, whether you are a dad or not, can we tell all the dads that have meant something to us in one way or another how much we appreciate them by putting our hands together? Can we do that? Come on, make some noise! Yeah, I am excited today as we continue our series about the Ten Commandments. And my dad is here with us, and I'll introduce you to him in just a minute. But, you know, I wanted to kind of give you a little understanding of where we're at with this. We're in week two of the Ten Commandments. Last week, we talked about no other gods. How the number one commandment is to have no other gods before him. God made that very clear, and we talked about what that looks like. And today, rather than going in order, we're going to jump all the way down to number five of the Ten Commandments, because it is Father's Day. And number five, I don't know if you know this, but it is the one that talks about dads. In fact, you can probably say it with me. It says, honor your father and your mother. Do we have it even on the screen? Yeah, but it's all about honoring your father and your mother. And it's from Exodus. The Ten Commandments were given to us twice, once there and once in Deuteronomy as well. And, you know, as a little background for that, I would tell you this. A lot of times people get the wrong impression about rules, about God's commandments or anything in that world. We tend to think of them as something that they're really not. Let's pretend that they are made out of metal. Okay, so I got a little bit of wire here, metal wire. I would tell you this. This wire can be formed or shaped in a lot of different ways. And what we tend to do in our minds is when we think of commandments or rules, we tend to think of them as something, and I can't do it, but if you could turn this into a little cage or something, or if I had a lot more of it, into a big cage. We tend to think of commandments as metal that would be shaped in the form of a cage to hold us down, to suppress us, to hold us back, to keep us from enjoying things, to keep us out of things that we want to enjoy. And that's what we picture when we think of metal and when it comes to the analogy of them being like commandments. But the truth is, really, it's more like this. Pretend that there's a big drop-off or a chasm or a cliff here that means sure death if you fall over. the commandments from God were really designed not to cage us down or hold us back, but to be more like a guardrail. And if this were, I had more of it and could shape it into a guardrail made out of metal, that would be the better picture, if you're going to think of them as made out of metal, of what the Ten Commandments are to be like. They are not to oppress us or hold us back. They are to save our lives and bring life into our lives. And so in that respect, we tell God, thank you for them. And I'm excited about looking at this one out of order because of the fact that today is Father's Day. And so I'd like to ask you, if you would, will you help me out to welcome to the stage my father, Robert Henry Park, all the way from Kansas. Come on up here, Dad. You got that turned on?
Yeah, it's on.
Let me just tell you, we're going to sit down by the campfire and just tell you a few stories, not so much like a typical sermon, but my dad here has preached more sermons than I could ever count. I grew up listening to them. He's been a pastor from before I was born, and then some, and did so for many years, married to my mom. She passed away of cancer in 1989, and that, of course, was a hard time for our whole family. But around that time, very close, just within a matter of months, a wonderful lady named Alice, who lost her husband, he'd been a pastor for many years as well, in Idaho, he passed away of a heart attack, and somebody set you up, I forget who, a friend, but anyway, set them up, and I think you were engaged before you actually physically were together again, is that right?
That's true.
A lot of letter writing and all that, and you know, before the Match.com or any of that kind of stuff, they did it the old-fashioned way, but they got engaged, and now Bob and Alice have been married longer than my mom and dad were, and have a beautiful and amazing marriage, and I just praise God for them. So will you tell Alice thank you, hello, and all that, welcome as well. Let's have a seat. So we've done ministry at the same time, and I watched you as a kid do it, and as we talked here recently, I was telling you about wanting to do this. I actually called Dad the day after Easter here, whatever, a couple months ago. And interestingly, that day he was kind of busy, and I said, I'd like to ask you to come out here on Father's Day, and here's why, and I explained it. And he said, I got to take some time to collect my thoughts, because he was a little bit tired that day because, and I think this is just a little random story, but it was very indicative of who he is. I just want you to understand a little bit about Dad. But that day, if I understand right, Alice remembers details better, but I think she said you had 8 people for lunch, and then 6 more for dinner, although you were planning on only having 1 or 2 for dinner. How'd that happen? Just briefly.
Alice does the laundry for a college student at the Central Christian College in McPherson. His mother is an invalid due to back injury, and so anyway, she helps out there. And we wanted to have him in our evening meal on Easter Sunday, because his mother could not do that type of thing. And so when I went after him, he said, how about we have 3 other college students come too? So we had 3 of his friends with us also, as well as them.
And that's just very indicative of my dad. He's always been a very generous man, and whether it be with us kids or with other people, I've always watched him just be a very generous person, and I admire that and so many other elements of who he is. So I just wanted to ask Dad a few questions about some things in reference to fatherhood and parenting and that kind of stuff along this line. You know, as young people, or as young children, Barry, my brother, who a lot of you know, and our sister Kelly, who's also married to a pastor, so things have kind of gotten passed down in that respect. A lot of pastor kids, as you might know, kind of get a reputation for being difficult or problematic in different ways, because I think they've seen their dads be so busy doing ministry, they don't have time for parenting, and so they rebel and turn away from that. Whereas our dad was always very, very engaged and lived out priorities in a beautiful way and did a great job in ministry, but also was a great father. And one of the things we did a lot was memorize scripture. So like Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which he lives out. He kind of embodies it. It's about the fruit of the Spirit. You can probably say it with me, but the fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Dad would lead us to do that. In fact, talk a little bit about why you did that and how we did that.
I was convinced that I ought to have devotion time with the kids. And so I asked them, What time of day? Do you want me to do it right before you go to bed at night or in the morning, or when would you? And they chose to do it 15 minutes before school started on school days. Now, not on Sunday or Saturday, but on school days 15 minutes before. And I was reading the Bible through, and I'd pick out maybe five verses that I thought would be appropriate for the kids, especially ones just to live by. And I'd share those with the kids, and we'd pray together, and I'd ask them about their concerns about school. And that 15 minutes was such a joy.
Well, and at the time as a kid, I remember dragging my feet and going, oh, I just want to sleep in a little longer, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I look back on that now, and I can't say thank you enough to you, Dad. And I want to we would encourage you, dads, if you have children at home, to find a way to start doing that. Any practical advice about how to lead devotions or what to do? I mean, for those who go, I don't know how to do that, I'm not very skilled or I'm not very knowledgeable, what would you tell them?
Well, I tried not to make it preachy at all, but just to read scripture and discuss what it means to me, and ask them to share what they get out of it. And then I would lead in prayer, and sometimes the kids would take turns leading in prayer, and just encourage one another.
You developed a stack of 3x5 cards, or 4x6, yeah. Whatever, I remember, that we would go through and memorize together and work on that together and lead by example. And so one verse that I think we came back to over and over and over, maybe as much or more than any of the others, was James 1:19. Remember what that one says?
Yeah.
My dear brothers,
take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
And I don't know, do you have any idea why we came back to that one over and over and over?
If they have children, I think they know.
I just knew it was always for Barry's benefit. He needed that way more than me. But now, actually, I think we all needed that. But I tell you what, memorizing God's word and letting it soak down deep into your soul. I mean, David said in Psalms, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And there's so much beauty in that. So I really would encourage you, if you have children at home, or even if your children are grown, you could still find ways to do that from afar, phone calls, email, Facebook, whatever, but to find ways to interact with them in spiritual ways. I think that is beautiful stuff. Well, anyway, this commandment, honor your father and your mother, so that it may, well, hang on, back up just a little bit, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you, is also quoted by Jesus. And this is beautiful in, as we can go to the next verse there, or next slide there, you see it there in Ephesians, says Saint Jesus, the Apostle Paul, I said that wrong, thanks Dad, you got to correct me there. Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then continuing, next slide. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So as we talk about fatherhood on Father's Day, you know, obviously that verse applies to moms and dads together, but in particular, let's zero in a little bit on dads and what that looks like. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Dad, what does that look like? And we talked a little bit the other day, or actually several times now, about the difference between honoring and obeying. Talk about your angle on how those two words compare or contrast.
You could obey without honoring your parents. You could obey maybe out of fear or something like that. But you can't honor without obeying. But you could obey without honoring, but you can't honor without obeying.
So honoring is the bigger word, or bigger context in that respect, more comprehensive. And so let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. I'll just say this. I know that we have all kinds of people here that come from different backgrounds. Everybody, of course, has a dad. Some of you know your dad well and are in a close relationship. Others of you maybe don't even know your dad at all, or know him but have not been in a close relationship. And all kinds of details or variations there within that. And for some people, and I'm one of them, it's fairly natural, and it feels easy to want to honor my father. For others of you, it might be hard. You go, you know what, my dad is not so honorable. He took off when I was whatever age, or something along that line. And it's hard for some of you to want to honor your father and or mother. And I would just encourage you, though, to understand, as Dad just said, that obeying is one thing, but honoring is another thing. And Dad, if you can, talk a little bit about why do we honor our father, or how do we and why do we honor a father, even if they haven't always been honorable?
They've lived longer than us as kids. When we're young, our parents have already had a lot of experience, and we can benefit from their experience, even if they don't know the Lord. There's a lot of things that they could keep us out of a lot of danger by their experience and their wisdom.
That's why. How about the how? What does it look like? How do we go about honoring a dad, especially if maybe they're harder to see good in?
When I was growing up, I thought my dad exasperated me a lot. I thought he was too harsh and too severe, but I still needed to show respect for him and to appreciate,
Yeah, I'm going to just tell you this. There's a neat story I want Dad to tell you. I, at different times in my life growing up, haven't always had the best opinion of my grandpa, his dad. And I didn't know him real well. He died when I was a teenager and lived far enough away that we didn't get to see each other real often. So I didn't know Grandpa real well. But I heard some stories here and there, maybe some from Dad, but probably more even from my mom, who, it's complicated, but Grandpa and my mom kind of clashed over a misunderstanding. And so maybe Mom skewed things a little bit, I don't know, possibly. But I kind of, bottom line is I had kind of a sour opinion of Grandpa. I never really thought that highly of him. And of course he's flawed, we all are. He made some mistakes, and he may have at times disciplined more harshly than he should have, and made other mistakes here and there, but at times I thought poorly of him. And recently, I mean just recently, and you know, I still think of myself as pretty young, but I am 50 years old, and at 50 years old, Dad informed me of some things I didn't know about Grandpa that just really impacted me and changed my perspective of not only about Grandpa, but about how we should all show honor to a father and a mother, but again, specifically fathers today. What honoring looks like and why we do so. And Dad, if you could kind of go take us back a little bit to how and why specifically you show honor to your dad and how that was, what you explained to me about why you said, Scott, you should probably have a higher respect for your grandpa than what you seem to, because, can you explain some of that?
Well, I learned how my father had been raised. Sometimes I thought Dad was too strict on me, but I learned that my grandmother, by the way, she was the second cousin to Frank and Jesse James, those boys, their dad was a prominent Baptist preacher over in Missouri, but that's kind of beside the point. But she raised five daughters, and she was expecting her sixth child. And after my dad was born, and she realized that she had given birth to a son, she wasn't proud of that. She said, "I don't know why I have to be burdened in raising a son. My mother didn't have to raise any children, any boys, just girls. That's all she wanted to raise." And she told Dad that. As he was growing up.
In fact,
worse than that, she told him that she didn't want any more children at that point. After she gave birth to those five sisters to my dad, she didn't want any more children, and she took poison twice trying to abort that last child, and she told him that as he was growing up.
That's pretty hard to hear.
So anyway, when my grandmother died, Dad couldn't shed a tear. She had killed any love that he could have had.
And knowing that, and knowing that he was raised harshly, other things about, like, when he was a little boy, when he would get toys or something, she would take them away and give them to the sisters because she didn't care about, didn't love him the same way, looked at him differently as a boy. And some of those kind of things as we think about, as you've known that, which I didn't know that, but as you explained that and you said, hey, okay, maybe your Scott, maybe your grandpa was a little rough around the edges in certain respects. Yes, but if you had been raised by a mom who didn't want you and tried to abort you by taking poison a couple of times even and told you over and over that she didn't want you, how might you have turned out?
Yeah.
And it helped me learn to cut my grandpa a lot more slack.
Amen.
And I just love how, even though there were some hard things that happened in your life, how you showed honor to your father over and over and over again in so many ways. And I just admire that. There's a story about Grandpa that I've shared once before that Dad can share a lot better, but I think we got a picture. There is Henry and Mary. That's Grandma there lived almost to 101. Grandpa passed away in his 80s. But as a young man, Dad, why don't you take it from there? Tell this story. We got a picture of this spur, if you can put that screen. Yeah. Tell us about that.
After I'm the youngest of three kids born to Henry and Mary Park. And Dad was a hardworking man, but he did enjoy rodeoing. And he was good at it, not professional, but he was good at it enough that he would bring home a lot more prize money than what he would for entrance fees. So it assisted there. But it was still a hobby for him. One time Dad was gone for about 3 days while Mom was left at home with the three of us kids at home to take care of, and she had to do the chores with Dad being gone.
On the farm.
And when Dad did come in after about 3 days from rodeoing, he showed her the prizes that he had won. And she said, well, Henry, that's good. I'm proud of you and glad that you enjoyed. But you don't provide for the family with rodeoing. You do with farming. Rodeoing is just a hobby with you. And as I tell this, I want you to remember, my mother was a very submissive wife. She honored Dad, and she wanted him to lead in the family. So if and when she challenged him, he listened. He listened seriously.
Because it was pretty rare.
And it was very rare that she did. Well, she challenged him that time, said, Henry, you need to make a choice. Do you want your hobby or do you want your family? He hung up his spurs and concentrated on that which really would provide for the family. And he was a good farmer, provided well with it. And when I was about 10 years old, he gave me one of the spurs. And he gave my brother the other. And he said, I want you boys to know that you have a wonderful mother. And she's worth a lot more than any hobby. And he wanted us to keep those spurs as a reminder that the family is worth more than any hobby.
Isn't that cool? That's cool. And so when it comes to honoring a father or a mother, for that matter, I think a real important thing for all of us to understand is to not give ourselves a pass with the excuse of, well, Scott, it's easy for you to honor your dad because he's a good man and you have lots to respect and appreciate. But my dad, on the other hand, is this and this and this, so therefore I don't have to honor him. I would just tell you this. Grandpa had some rough edges around the edges for him, but when you think about what he went through, you know, he did an incredible job raising Dad, considering all that he had gone through as a young boy and how he lived his life. And yet, despite that, the truth is, yeah, he had some rough edges. And yet, my dad honored his father so much that it just has inspired me. And I want to encourage everybody here to understand that if your dad is, somebody that you see this or that struggle in, and maybe you're frustrated with this or that inconsistency, or maybe he doesn't even know the Lord, I want to encourage you to find a way to do all you can to not give up on him and to honor him anyway. Even if he doesn't always act honorable, you still show him honor. Dad, do you have any other thoughts to share about that piece of that?
I find one story real interesting that Dad used to tell about the conflict with him and his mother. One day he was eating at the table, and he put some food on a dinner knife and put it in his mouth. And she scolded him terribly over that and asking, how did you ever learn etiquette like that? That's just really wrong. And he said, well, Mom, I've been watching you do it, and that's how I learned. She called him a liar and said, I never eat with a spoon in my mouth. And it was his chore to set the dinner that evening for their evening meal. But before that, he took one of the dinner knives out in the yard and found some sand rock, and he sharpened it until it was about razor sharp. He put it at her plate. That evening, as she was eating the evening meal, she cut a little bit on her mouth with that, and he started laughing. And he said he ran about a half mile before she caught him, but he said... okay. But there was some humor in that, but yet it's so sad that Dad never felt loved at all by Mom. He knew his dad loved him, but he never felt love for my mother. And so I felt like I could cut some slack to him, and if he exasperated me, I could overlook some of that because of how, if I'd been raised like that, I don't think I'd done as well as he did. Okay.
You know, Martin Luther, and I don't mean Martin Luther King Jr., I mean Martin Luther in the 1600s, who I understand had a very, very strict father. He once wrote, and I think we have, yeah, he wrote, spare the rod and spoil the child. That is true. But right beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well. And I think we need to learn from examples like that, or think about how we discipline. That's another part of course, the whole family environment or dynamic. And make sure that we do discipline and teach and train our children, but do so with great encouragement as well. You know, again, that passage in Ephesians we looked at where Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments and then adds two, and he says through the Holy Spirit, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So much of that is about engaging, about connecting and spending time with. And that's one of the things that I just so appreciate about Dad. And I want to encourage all the dads here to do that. Find ways to engage and connect with your young children or with your grown children. Either way that works out. Dad, talk a little bit about, and I mentioned earlier that a lot of pastor kids, PKs, are oftentimes kind of, for understandable reasons, given kind of a negative connotation or reputation because they tend to be, oh, some people would call them hellions or rebel rousers or troublemakers or whatever, because a lot of times they don't see Dad having time for them. Dad's too busy running the church. He doesn't have time for them. And so the kid kind of turns in another direction. Barry and Kelly and I kind of, you know, obviously we're not perfect, especially Barry. But anyway, we, I probably got in more trouble than any of the rest of us. But anyway, we followed in your footsteps and went down the road of being in ministry. Not because we didn't have other options, but because we were drawn to it and we loved the concept and wanted to do so. And I think the legacy, which that video we were watching right beforehand talks about, the legacy being passed down is so powerful. That comes from good decisions that Dad made. Talk a little bit about, if you will, the very clear priority system that you put in place, how you told us this all the time and then you lived it out, and why.
I thought the most important thing for me would be to have a right relationship with God, second toward my wife, and then toward the children. And then ministry comes on down the road. And I was a father before I was, not before I was a minister, but it was of greater priority to me of being a father than it was of the ministry. I loved the ministry, but I wanted my kids to know they were more important to me than my job.
So you went to ball games and you turned off the phone, and when people wanted to have an appointment at dinner time or whatever, he would often say, hey, you know, if it's an emergency, okay, but most of the time, let's wait and do it at this time so that I can prioritize time with my kids and spend time together. And we'd go on trips or whatever, but a lot of it was just the day-to-day normal stuff, getting up early and saying, you know, people would want to have a breakfast meeting, and he'd say, no, We'll do it at 8 o'clock, but I'm going to spend this time with my children doing devotions with them. I mean, he just sacrificed and made priority, things like that. And I admire that so much. And it reminds me of what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think we have this on the screen too. The Bible says these commands, and we're talking about the Ten Commandments and such. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. And when you lie down, and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. All these things, live it out. Be practical. Be engaged. And I just want to encourage, we want to encourage all the dads here to find ways to engage, to spend time with your children. We want all of us that are thinking about our fathers to understand how important it is to honor them, even if they don't always seem honorable. But on the flip side of that, or on the other half of that relationship, we want to encourage you to engage with your young people. Or even if your son or daughter is 50 or 60 years old, find a way to engage and spend time with them. So there are lots of ways we did that. Dad, if you want, talk a little bit about discipline or maybe hard work. I know there are a couple of stories there, like with paper route situation in reference to hard work or discipline with the wooden spoon or any of those.
Okay.
Those. He had a couple stories he wanted to share, and I'm like, all right, but not too much detail. But
well, when the boys were real young, about the time they were 10 years old, I encouraged them to get a job delivering newspapers, and they sometimes would want to quit that during the winter, especially when it got cold and tiring to do that. I'd say, well, when you get a better job, you can quit that one, you know. So they did, got a little older, then they'd get a job carrying out or stocking at a grocery store. They would often want things that didn't fit in our budget too well, like a lot of playing cards. And Scott bought those on his own money that he earned. Now, we would provide for the necessities, but the luxury type things.
You mean like baseball cards?
Baseball cards, yeah. He bought these collector cards that he wanted on his own. But if
you did not encourage us to work, this is what you were telling me yesterday, you knew that that would lead down a bad path. What does that look like?
Well, if you were selfish, if we gave everything to the kids, they'd think the world just owed it to them, and they could be self-centered. But when they have to earn some things and they learn self-control too, well then it brings a much happier life in every aspect on down through it.
We talked last week about a child-centered home and how that's a very dangerous thing.
If everything centers around the child and they're given everything they want, then they become selfish and just could be a self-centered brats. I love my kids too much. I didn't want them to be. I wanted them to be self-controlled and learn that other people are important too, as well as they are. I wanted them to feel loved. But I wanted them to be able to love other people too.
In terms of being engaged and being active, again, which is basically my paraphrase of that verse, how does it go again? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So, in other words, be engaged and lead them down the right path in all these different ways. Talk a little bit about discipline, if you will, maybe the wooden spoon story there.
Okay. when Scott was real young, say a year and a half old, and when he knew what he was supposed to do, and he'd look at us like, can you make me do that? I'd go to him and get a hold of this muscle here and pinch, and he'd know it was best just to go ahead and obey, not to wait on that. But then by the time he got about 2 years old, from 2 to 10, occasionally, when he would know what was expected of him, and he'd say, I'm not going to do it. Can you make me? I didn't disappoint him. we had a drawer that had some wooden spoons in it, you know, and those were pretty handy to use on the back end to reinforce, and that he would have to do. One time, though, I went to the drawer to get a wooden spoon, They were all gone. I found them underneath the chairs in different places, stashed around the house. Of course, after Scott doesn't know who did it, you know. But
discipline actually is, as you talked about this all the time. I didn't, of course, buy it as a young person.
Discipline was an act of love.
Act of love.
And we didn't discipline to hate or hurt, but I loved him too much to let him get by with disrespect and disobedience. I didn't use wooden spoon on him, but that was a last resort. If all other attempts would fail, then that was the last resort, and he would cooperate with it too. He learned.
And you know, and children don't necessarily, of course, appreciate that in the moment. Virtually never, I don't think, but including Barry and Kelly and I. But as we've gotten older, we've all three just said thank you to Dad so many times for the consistency that he lived out that way and the discipline. And learning to discipline, not so much in anger. He would often say, all right, I'm really, really upset right now. Go to your room. We'll talk about it later. And, of course, that made it worse because now I'm anticipating the wooden spoon or whatever, you know, for however long it took. But actually, when he would then come in and discipline and do so calmly, which that was painful as well. But anyway, he'd come in and do that and explain how much he loved us and talk through things. It really shaped us in a beautiful way and has been trickled down to the way we've done things with our kids. And so I just, you know, I really admire and appreciate and respect that as well. And as I look at engaged fathers, successful fathers, we were talking about this, and we're running out of time, so I'll just briefly summarize. But there are a whole bunch of interesting examples of fathers in the Bible. And we were talking about this, you know, like, as we've been going, our family's been going through the Bible in a year. We've been reading through it together. Not long ago, we were reading through, came to when Samuel, as a child, was dedicated to the service of the Lord and raised by the priest Eli. The Bible talks about Eli, painted a picture of how Eli raised Samuel pretty well, but Eli himself was a pretty pathetic father. He had two terrible sons who he did not apparently ever discipline. They eventually had to even be put to death. I mean, it was a really terrible situation. And while Samuel was raised by Eli, and you would hope would learn from some of these things that he saw, he then later also seemed to fail as a father in that his two sons, when the Israelites wanted a king or wanted the next prophet, it was made clear, well, Samuel, you're getting old, you're about to die. Obviously, your sons can't do it. They're not up to the task, so we need a king. And God said, no, you don't want a king. A king's not a good idea. You'll regret that day. But anyway, he gave them a king, and Samuel was the one who anointed Saul, first of all, who initially was a good king and did some things maybe well as a father. He had a son named Jonathan who lived a life, you know, of honor to the Lord and in a lot made a lot of good decisions. But then Saul turned pretty much down a very bad path, and David came next. And David, the only person in Scripture called a man after God's own heart. And there's all kinds of beautiful things about David. But he also struggled mightily as a father. He had the very famous encounter with Bathsheba, a sexual sin, adultery, and led to murder, deception, all kinds of terrible things. And the apple doesn't often fall far from the tree, and his sons, in many respects, had a lot of problems, including Amnon, who ended up raping his half-sister, and it was a terrible thing. The Bible says that David was displeased with that, but he did nothing. Like, wow. You know, that's a pretty powerful statement, that David did nothing, even though he knew his son was out of line. Failure to discipline. It's kind of like what James tells us in the New Testament. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And David did that. I think he made a lot of mistakes in that way. And then other problems with Absalom, his other son rebelled and went in another direction. A lot of things happened in a negative way. And there are lots of examples, even people like David, who failed as fathers. And I just want to encourage everybody to understand, as Dad said, you know what, ministry is a high priority. It's a high calling, and he loves and has done very well in ministry, been loved greatly by thousands of people, done a great job. And yet he said, you know what, my first calling is to walk with the Lord, love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is then to love his wife, and then thirdly to love his children, and then fourthly to love the church. And I would encourage you to really pray about and think through your priorities and say, dear God, help me to live out the right kind of priorities. First with you, and then down the road, the right kind of priorities. And unlike people even as wonderful as King David was, who, you know, fought Goliath and wrote so much of the Psalms and did so many wonderful things, a man after God's own heart, still failed in many respects as a father. And I don't want to be that guy. And I know you dads in the room don't want to be that guy. And so I just want to encourage you to recognize the significance and the power of being a father, and recognize that it starts and ends with Almighty God and your connection to Him. So I'd like, if you would, I'd like to ask all the men in the room that are a father to stand. Would you do that with us? And I'd like to ask my dad to lead us in prayer, and the rest of you, maybe extend your hand, or if you want, you can stand and put a hand on their shoulder if you want, but let's pray for all the dads in the rooms. Dad, how about you and I both pray? I'll start and you close.
Okay.
Dear God, I just thank you so much for my dad. None of us are perfect. We're all a work in progress, and I just thank you that even though he's not perfect either, he has loved you and walked with you and modeled what that looks like for me, my brother and sister, and so many countless other people. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to help me to be somebody who learns from that example and moves forward in a great way. And Lord, I pray for all the dads that are standing, that are in this room. And I thank you for the hard work that I know has gone into that. I know some probably look backwards and go, wow, you know, I should have, could have, would have, you know, done different or whatever. And I pray you help us to not so much look backwards, but to look forward. And as long as we're breathing, do the very best we can to honor you, and then allow our children, whatever age they are, to want to honor us because we are in a healthy relationship and because we're doing our best to walk with you. So, Lord, that's my prayer, that you would strengthen each of the dads in the room to do their best to walk with you first, but then right behind that, to honor those on this earth that you've called them to love, and to do it with the right set of priorities in the right order, and to let you use them to touch and encourage and help and discipline and love, all these things in the right ways. I pray that in your son's name.
Father, as we continue our prayer, I want to thank you for my son, my number one son, and for calling him into the ministry. But I thank you above all that you have been active in his life, that you've helped him to develop godly character, Christian values, and that he is passing those on to future generations. And Lord, I do pray that, and I thank you that you have blessed him in calling him into the ministry and blessed this work here. And I just pray that you'll continue to work through Scott and the others that he works with in leadership, that Christ might always be central, and that the hearts of people can be touched and they can be assisted in maturing and growing up to become what you want them to be. Keep us all in your love, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody stand, and let's sing and let's worship Almighty God together. And if you want to come and give your heart to the Lord, or if you want to come and pray with somebody, I would welcome you and love you.